A-Day's in the books. Let's break it down.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. This one's a little different. This is a spring practice A-Day recap. We're going to go through the A-Day game today. I'm going to focus essentially 100% on the offense. That is what I think everybody wants to hear. Hey, are we going to be okay? Like, there's been a lot of bad talk coming out of spring practice, a lot of bad juju around the offense. What did it look like? And just kind of break it down. Start with the quarterbacks and work our way through. We're going to talk about quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive line, and then running backs too. We're going to talk about it all. And then, I mean, we got so much time to talk about the defense. Breaking news, they're good. Okay, so just be ready for that whenever we get to it. But let's jump right into offense. And I'm going to start with the quarterbacks, okay? I'm going to start with Byron Brown. That's who everybody wants to hear. Okay, his box score is not going to be impressive. If you're just looking at the box score, he was 7 of 14 and for 85 yards, and he threw two interceptions. Okay, now, I'm going to start off with this. If it was full contact, he would have had 100 yards rushing in the first quarter. There was a touchdown that was like I was borderline like aggravated at the whistles that were being blown. If y'all were there, you know what I'm talking about. There's a play where he broke contain and he's walking in for a touchdown and they blow it dead. And, you know, I think it ended up being like a 2-yard gain, and it's like an easy touchdown. There was another one where he had a scramble that he gets out in the open field and like nobody actually touches him down the field for like 15 or 20 yards. And it's one-on-one with him and a safety. Like, he's going to win that battle 9 times out of 10. And they blew it dead. There were multiple times where it could have just been really, really big gains when it's full contact. And they just – it's those type scrimmages really limit him big time. He made one really, really bad throw that I thought. I thought it was one really bad decision. He threw an interception, I think, to Bryce Diaz. The pocket was kind of collapsing, and it was one of those, like, you know, flat-footed, kind of throw it sidearm, try to fit something in there. Chaz was there, so like he read it and got his, like he went through his progressions and found him. The ball just kind of sailed on him a little bit, and he obviously it was picked off. So that was a really bad one. The interception to Jared, I wish I could see a replay, but Jared Smith had an interception. He actually had a pick six, and this was the play right after. This is another thing. This is a play right after he's walking into the end zone and they blow it dead. So then they got to run another play, and they're going to run a wide receiver slip screen to the left. Okay, so it's like take the snap, drop back, let the rush come a little bit and throw it over their head, and you got the wide receiver coming underneath. They ran it a couple of times. They ran it once to Keyshawn Singleton and got a big gain. And like it would have been a really good call for that particular situation. Jared stumbles, okay? Jared stumbles or something, because remember, on a screen, they let him come free. And it's almost like that he wasn't expecting. He was expecting contact, and there wasn't any. And he's stumbling. So he doesn't really get to where he needs to be before they pitch it out to the wide receiver. So when Byron goes to pitch it out, like the timing of Jared stumbling put him right in the throwing lane. So, and then how often does a defensive lineman intercept a ball like that, like point blank range? It was a freak play, and I know it goes down as an interception in the books and all that good stuff. Byron didn't even chase him to go tackle because he couldn't. It was a freak play, okay? It was a freak play. It was one read, and it didn't have anything to do with his throwing motion. It didn't have anything to do with anything other than it was just a freak play. He had a deep ball to open the game. They really were trying – had two, actually. They were really trying to force the ball down the field, and he missed – I felt like he missed Brian Williams Jr., it was sort of like a skinny post, and he led it a little bit too far, missed that one. And then he threw what I thought was a dime to Chaz Nimrod, and Chaz kind of got I sometimes when you're running down the field and you kind of get your body out of position on those deep balls, and it's like he kind of started throttling down before he needed to, and almost like he slowed up a little bit and then realized, oh shoot, I'm not there. And it was kind of it felt like it was right there in his hands, and he just didn't catch it. So that was a 60 yarder, like right off the bat. I saw what I needed to see from Brown. Okay. I know there's going to be a lot of people that maybe look at that box score and they're freaking out and they're like, oh my God, he stinks, whatever. I saw what I needed to see out of Brown. When that dude can run the ball, this offense is going to be, I think, fun to watch, period. Okay. He's going to be good. Like, I really think this kid's going to be special. So that's my assessment of Byron Brown. You also had another quarterback who was freaking phenomenal, and that's Tristan Tia. And I got to hand it to him, man. I have had zero expectations for him. Zero. When he came in, I just didn't really have any expectations whatsoever about not only just this year, but like the future for him. Like, he's almost, and this is me, and I'm calling myself out, like almost thinking he's a placeholder until you bring in the next guy. And he has completely proven me wrong to the point where he may have a case to say, I'm the guy next year. Like, I'm winning the job for next year. He was 15 of 20. He threw one really bad interception, but other than that, he was borderline flawless. Like, he had a really pretty – he throws on the run really well. He goes through his progressions really well, and he's really, really accurate. I think the interception he threw, it was going to be like a corner route, and he was kind of – I think he was kind of rolling out, and Jacoby Matthews just snuck up under it and picked it off. But other than that, man, he is very, very impressive. Now, he was going twos on twos, so he didn't get any reps against the ones, but he was in there a lot of times. And Cody Sigler, who maybe that'll be a story that we talk about later in the week, Cody Sigler ran with the twos a good bit. So, like, there was good players on the other side. It wasn't like it was just, a bunch of scrubs. And I was just so impressed with him to the point where I'm like, man, he could be the future. Like, he legitimately could be the future. And this is not just based off of just the A-Day game. He's gotten better every single day as spring's gone on. I actually voted for him for MVP. So I don't know. At this point in time, while I'm recording, I have no idea who won the MVP, but he got my vote. So that's my take on the quarterbacks. I think we're in a pretty good spot there. Okay, now I want to talk wide receivers, and then I want to talk defensive line. But before we do that, I want to give a quick shout-out to Ford Stokes, man. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth, and the tailgate we had today was unbelievable. I was so humbled at everybody that showed up and came. Like, I honestly, like, before the game, we probably had 150 to 200 people there. It was unreal. All you folks that drove, I saw there's people that drove from North Carolina, a lot of folks from Georgia, North Alabama, Mobile, Pensacola, like, people coming from all over to hang out. And we couldn't have done it without Ford Stokes with Active Wealth for helping us, put together the tent. And I mean, he took care of everything. So y'all got to show him some love. Reach out to him. Let him help you with your planning for your retirement. He's the man. So wanted to give a shout out to Ford Stokes for sure for today. It was spectacular. Let's talk wide receivers. The story of the day is freaking Deshaun Spencer. I told somebody in the press box, and I've said it, multiple times, Deshaun is going to be everything that we thought Malcolm Simmons would be for us without the headaches. The guy that you can move all the way across the formation, the guy that you can get mismatches with, the guy that, he could catch the ball out of the backfield or in the backfield. He can run over the middle. He can catch a short pass and turn it into a big game. One of his prettiest catches and runs was like a 2 or 3 yard catch that he broke like 2 or 3 tackles and got downfield. Like there were, I mean, he's probably, it wouldn't shock me if he's the offensive MVP. There was a lot of folks around me that voted for him for MVP. He had 9 catches for 93 yards, 10 targets, and he caught 9 of them. Like he was phenomenal. He didn't score, I don't think. There's only one passing touchdown. Yeah, there's only one passing touchdown. But he was impressive. So that's something extremely fun to look out for. Now, he got this opportunity. He's getting this opportunity because Christian Neptune was banged up. I think, you know, he was in a sling today. I think he had a shoulder procedure. And he's making the most of it. So that is that's a true freshman, early enrollee, and he just dominated today. He could have played. He caught passes on the ones. He caught passes on the twos. Boy, that kid is going to be fun. He is going to be electric. Okay. Keyshawn Singleton. So he didn't play the first quarter. Don't know why. Don't really care. I don't know if it was an injury or I don't know if it was just that was just the plan. He didn't play the first quarter. I don't really care that much. He came in the second quarter and then like, boom, boom, boom. He had like 3 big catches all in a row, and he had 1 catch and run, guys. I think it was Andre Jordan Jr. that gambled. He gambled on a comeback route and didn't get it, okay? So Singleton catches like an 8 or 9 yard dig route. Andre Jordan gambles, doesn't get it, so now you're off to the races. New boy comes up, okay? New boy comes up, and Keyshawn shook him so bad he fell down. Like he fell down. He literally broke his ankles. And he went and turned that, you know, catch into like a 15 or 20 yard play. He immediately, as soon as he got in the game, he made an impact. He is every bit as advertised. He is going to be special. He's the alpha of that room. I was a little bit disappointed in Chaz. I expected more from Chaz. Obviously, he misjudged the deep ball. He dropped a slant. I don't think that's, you know, super anything like red flag to worry about. I will say this. One of the knocks on him has always been that he'd have like some untimely drops. That's always been one of the knocks on him. Athleticism for days, speed for days. A little bit inconsistent with his hands sometimes. So that's something, you know, maybe to watch for. I thought that Brian Williams Jr. would get a little bit more run. I predicted him to be the offensive MVP. He didn't necessarily light it up. He only had 1 catch from, you know, the receiving aspect, but dude was grinding on the perimeter as far as blocking goes. Like that's how you earn playing time. Let's see who else you had that had some big catches. Duke Smith on that very, very first drive had a bunch of big catches and had a really good catch and run. He broke a tackle from Fred Gaskin and scored on like a, I don't know, 20, 25 yard touchdown. I think the only receiving touchdown of the day. It was pretty because Tristan was rolling out, hit him, and then he made a catch and run and broke a tackle from Fred and scored. So, I feel like has been getting passed up a little bit, maybe. And maybe it's not, he's not as super consistent every single day, day in and day out at practice. But man, when you turn the lights on, he feels like a gamer. So can you trust him? He's still got some work to do, still got a little bit more polishing there. But I was proud of him, man. I was proud of him. He's been kind of one of these, all these new guys that have getting all the, they're getting all the glow, getting all the, you know, all the oohs and ahs. And he's sitting over here like, man, I'm, you know, I can play too. So I was good to see him again, 3 catches for 84 yards and a tutty. So good stuff there. As far as that's pretty much it for wide receivers. It's kind of the tight ends. It's kind of cool. The first play of the game, they threw a tight end screen to Jake. Like they, and I think that was cool because that kind of sent a message early. because they're the defense was so aggressive and they're so good. It's like, okay, we're going to throw you a change up just so you got to be on your toes. You can't be guessing, you know, every single play. And picked up a pretty big game. I mean, it was like 8 or 9 yards, I think. Let's see what it was. That was the only catch he had. See, Jake Johnson, 6 yards. Okay, so drive starter, 6 yards to you know, get the drive started. So good stuff out of the receiver crew. They're good. They're going to be all right. Offensive line has been, I mean, for years, it's been – it's been the story. It's been like the bugaboo for Auburn for so very long. It's like, man, if we had an offensive line, we'd be pretty solid. And throughout spring, the narrative has been, you know, that the offensive line is behind. And I think it's fair and totally okay to be concerned. Because again, the defensive line for most of spring, for the better part of spring, has just been having their way with them. All right. And then getting the run established and getting off to a good start has been a problem throughout spring. That's why when they did a scrimmage on Tuesday, what are they practicing? Second long, third and long. Just can't get drives going. So I thought they did a really good job today having a little bit more success on first down. Yeah, Jeremiah Cobb, who was running like a madman, he had four rushes for 57 yards. I mean, they were getting push. You had Nakai Davenport down there at the end, some tough, you know, push the pile moments, 10 carries for 41 yards. Like, you had some running backs. There were some holes. And I think there was, again, I still say I think there were some holes for Byron Brown too, like that they created. Any offensive line, when you put them in, it's kind of like when you're at bat in baseball and you're down 0-2. Like, it's tough when you get down 0-2. It's really tough when, as an offensive lineman, when you're, you know, second and third and long. Like, that's just tough. And they got in a couple of those situations today. And it just meant, I think the interception that that Byron threw, it may have been a longer down and distance. And they came after him, and he just, you know, sailed one. You know, he got off platform and he sailed one and got picked off. But all in all, you did see us move the ball, particularly the twos, but the ones even moved the ball up and down the field at times. Didn't get a touchdown, but they had success moving the ball. And it was the kind of success that you want to see in a spring game where, like, the defense won some battles, and I think the offensive line won some battles. And we're going to talk about this, you know, for the next several months. That defensive line, particularly on the interior, may be the biggest surprise to me of anything in spring. Those guys are good. Okay, so that is a really big good-on-good matchup there as far as ones versus twos when you got offensive line plus that defensive front. That's a heck of a matchup. And the defensive line has won their fair share. So I wanted to see, hey, can they move the ball at all? Can they get some push? Can they limit penetration? Can they pick up some of those blitzes that, you know, DJ sent? Like, he sent some linebackers like crazy. I mean, he was coming after Brown like every single play, it seemed like. Not a lot of dropping and, you know, trying to confuse. They were trying to get after him. And – you know, they succeeded some, and, you know, I thought we won some battles sometimes that, you know, we got some plays off when maybe we wouldn't have, you know, in past years. So I don't think that this is going to be like an SEC leading offense. They could shock us, but I think there's enough there to build off of and enough there to digest and feel a little bit better about, you know, going into this offseason and then what they can put together once we get into September. So I know that, you know, when you watch a game, like, you can get a lot of different perspectives. I saw a lot of people that, you know, and maybe there's some arguments that are justified as far as, like, being extremely concerned about Brown. But what I needed to see was, A, what's it look like when he decides to run? And the times that he decided to run today, he could have run for 15, 20 yards, like literally every single time. I'm telling you, that is going to be demoralizing. His legs are going to be demoralizing. And then, you know, can you stand in there and deliver the ball? And I thought that there were times I thought he looked pretty good at times. And they ran a lot of cool schemes too, where like good drive starter plays where, you know, you may sneak Chaz under the formation and hit him in the flat, and then he picks up 4 or 5 yards. It's like an extension, you know, of the run. A lot of stuff like that they can do to help him, and he can definitely push it vertical. Boy, he's got a cannon. He can push it vertical and really stretch the field. And when you got all those guys out there, those wide receivers humming, like, I don't know. I feel much better. I'm not going to lie. I was very, very concerned. Very, very concerned heading into that A day. I was very concerned about the offense. I maybe haven't voiced that quite enough, or maybe haven't voiced that really at all until now, but they calmed a lot of my fears, because I was to the point where the offensive line, I was like, man, they're gonna have to really work hard over the summer and into fall camp to, you know, just be competitive. And I think that maybe that was a little bit overreacting. So I don't know. Y'all, the ones that were there, let me know what you think. Like, let's dialogue about this. How do you feel about Byron Brown? How did you feel about that wide receiver room? How did you feel about the offensive line? I'll just say I was pleasantly surprised, understanding that I went into that expecting the worst, and they surprised me. So that's really, really good stuff. Thanks again to everybody that showed up for the tailgate. We're going to talk defense. We're going to talk position groups. It's talking season. So we're going to talk about all this as the weeks and the months roll by, and we'll see how things shake out. I think there were some surprises on defense as far as maybe some position battles. There were some surprises as far as different formations and stuff like that they threw out there. Like, there's going to be a lot to talk about. So y'all make sure you're tuned in. We're going to have some fun breaking this one down as we go. But like, first impression, thought the crowd was great. Thought the plan was great. The format was fine. I kind of liked it. Just constant offense, constant moving the ball, and switching back and forth. Like, it was a good day. Good day all around. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend. Barncast Live Sunday night. So make sure you're there, recapping it all together as a group. So that should be a lot of fun too. Y'all take it easy. I'm about to hit the road. I'm headed to Gulf Shore. So I got to catch my daughter. Got a cheer comp. Got to make sure I'm a cheer dad. So I got to make sure I'm there on time tomorrow for the next performance. So y'all take it easy. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.